Amen. Genesis 12, verse 1, please. The scriptures tell us now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I want to stress, brethren and sisters, at the outset, that the Christian life is a pilgrimage. I'd like you to think of that, fix that in your mind this morning. In other words, the Christian life is a journey. This world in which we're found is not our home. It's not the place where we are to settle down. We're not to get too attached to this world. Often many do, even many of the Lord's people. But I want to impress that on your hearts this morning. We're not to get too attached to this world and to all that is in it. Why is that? Well, it's because we're just passing through for a little while. As the New Testament teaches, we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that is the way that Abraham is portrayed in the Bible. He's set forth before us as a pilgrim, as a man that is on a journey. For many years he had lived in the great city of Ur of the Chaldees. Can I remind you, point out if you didn't realise it, that at that time Ur of the Chaldees was the city on the earth. It was the place to be. Ur of the Chaldees was a city of luxury, a city of learning. But when Abraham got saved, God told him to leave that place, to leave his house and to leave his home. And for the rest of his life, Abraham lived in a tent. The book of Hebrews, the great chapter of faith, Hebrews 11, says of Abraham dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. So Abraham left the luxury, left the comfort of his house in Ur of the Chaldees, and he left it for a tent. And for the rest of his life, he lived as a pilgrim. He had no fixed abode. He had no fixed address. He lived a nomadic life. He moved from place to place, from one place to the next, but he had no permanent dwelling place. And this is what he had to say about himself. This is how he summed up what happened at that time when he left Ur of the Chaldees. He said, it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house. So I want you to underline that word wander. God caused me to wander. Abraham was a pilgrim. Abraham was a wanderer. And that's how we want to consider him, how we want to look at him in the service this morning. Abraham, the wanderer. And in particular, I want us to note the testing of the wanderer. I want to underline that to you. There are certain tests that you will encounter as a Christian as you make your pilgrimage to heaven. And those tests are set out very clearly here in this passage that we have read from this morning. They're set out here in the life of Abraham. So I want us to think together of the tests of the wanderer. The first test I'll emphasize to you is the test of faith. If you look there at verse 1, the verse we've taken for our text, especially the last part of the verse, it says, unto a land that I will show thee. Notice the word will. He didn't say, the land that I have. It's the land that I will show thee. So that means that when Abraham left Ur, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where the path would actually end. As Hebrews 11 states, he went out not knowing whither he went. So God just told Abraham to leave Ur, but he didn't tell him where he was taking him to. Now, Abraham could have argued. He could have debated that with the Lord. He could have said, Lord, I'll go, but first tell me where I'm going. He could have said, in fact, Lord, I'm not going until you tell me every detail. If you tell me all about it, And I like what you tell me, then I will go. But if I don't like it, I'll not go. I'll just stay where I am. Many of us might have turned things over in our minds, said those sort of things to the Lord in response to what the Lord had asked Abraham to do. But not this man. That wasn't his response. That wasn't his attitude to the will of God. No, Abraham obeyed God. And he left Ur of the Chaldees. And he left Ur with his trust firmly fixed in the Lord himself. And he trusted the Lord for this fact, that whatever God, or wherever God would take him, that would be the best place for him to be. Let me just read to you some words from the book of Hebrews. It tells us, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, maybe you're hearing the call of God yourself today, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Can I impress that upon your heart, the response? It says he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. So as a pilgrim, Abram's faith was tested. And here's the key thing, brethren and sisters, at this time, Abraham passed the test. And I want to say to you today, the fact is that doing God's will is a test of faith for us all. Because what was true for Abraham will be true for you too. God will not tell you where you're going. God will not tell you where your life is heading. Whenever you get saved, the Lord unfolds his will progressively. He doesn't tell you all that is going to happen to you from that point until you arrive in heaven. God just unfolds his plan for you a chapter at a time. And there will be times that you'll not understand what is happening in your life. There will be times you will cry out, "Why, Lord? Why are you leading me this way? Why am I pressing, or why am I passing through these circumstances? Where will this path end for me?" Times you'll cry out in that manner. But what we must realize, brethren and sisters, is that God won't always tell you the answer to those questions. He won't always tell where he is leading you, and he won't always tell you why. The reason why he's leading you that way or leading you along that path. Do you remember the words of the Saviour? "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." So brethren and sisters, even as Christians, we'll not always know the answer to many of life's questions. We'll not always know the reason for what is happening in our lives, sometimes in our families as well. And that's an important lesson for us all to learn. But you might ask today, why would that be? Why does God not tell us the reason, not always tell us the answer? Well, let me stress this for you. The reason for it is this: the Lord wants you to learn to trust him. Will you take that to your heart today? The Lord wants you to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. He wants us to come to that point that no matter how black the circumstances, how impossible the way, that we will learn to trust his leading in our lives, every stage, every step of the way. So even when reason and logic would say to you, "I shouldn't do this, I should stay where I am," even then we have to learn to say with Paul in the storm, "I believe God." So let us all learn, as we consider this episode in Abraham's life, let us learn to trust God more. Pray the Lord will increase your faith. The Bible says, "As for God, his way is perfect. He will do the very best for those that leave the choice for him." So as pilgrims, there's the lesson of faith. I want you to see, too, that as pilgrims, there's a lesson to learn about the family. If you look there at chapter 11, if you look at that 31st verse of chapter 11, it says at the beginning, and Terah took Abram, his son. That's very interesting. Terah had taken control. Remember, Terah was Abraham's father. Terah had taken control of the situation. He was the one that led the family out of Ur of the Chaldees. Now you will know that the New Testament teaches whenever Stephen was preaching, Acts chapter 7, he said, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. God didn't appear to Terah. God's call didn't come to Terah. Yet here's Terah telling Abraham what to do. And we need to ask the question, why is that? Well, it would seem that Abraham had told his father all about the vision it had of God, told the Lord all about his conversion, he had confessed Christ. He had told his father what God had called him to do. And to Terah's credit, he listened to Abraham and he believed what he was told, because he too decided to leave Ur of the Chaldees at that time. But I want to stress this to you, men and women. Abraham was wrong to take his father with him. He was wrong. It wasn't the will of God. Do you notice what it says? Chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. It wasn't just a call out of his country. Look at the rest of the verse. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So the call of God to Abraham wasn't just a call to leave Ur, to leave Mesopotamia. It was a call of God to leave his father and to leave his family behind. So taking Terah along, that proved to be a snare to Abraham in his life of faith. Because you note the end of that 31st verse, what it says, chapter 11, verse 31. They came to Haran, and they dwelt there. That's very interesting, brethren and sisters. They dwelt at Haran. They settled down. They got attached to the place. But I want you to understand, that was not in God's plan. That was not God's will for this family to settle down there at Haran. But why did they do that? Why did they dwell there if it wasn't the will of God? Well, it was because of Terah. Terah had taken control. He wouldn't allow the family to go any further in the journey along the path that the Lord had for them. You might ask this morning, you might ask the question, how can we say that? How can we say that Terah was a hindrance, that he was a snare? How do we know that? Well, you turn over in your Bible for a moment to the book of Acts. Take a look at chapter 7, that chapter I made reference to just a moment or two ago. This chapter in the main is the great sermon that Stephen preached before the Jewish leaders, the Jewish Sanhedrin. But look at chapter 7, verse 4. It says, then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan or Haran, same place. And from thence, and notice these words, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. So that's a very interesting detail, brethren and sisters, in this whole story. Remember the importance of comparing one scripture with another. One part of the Bible throws light upon another. It says, when his father was dead. You see, Abraham made a mistake when he took Terah, his father, with him. His father became a hindrance to him. His father held him back from doing the will of God. It was only after his father died, only after his father was off the scene, that Abraham fully followed the Lord and fully did the will of God for his life. It was then and only then. So I want you to see, brethren and sisters, as you think of the pilgrim, the wanderer, the life of faith, Here's a very important warning for us all. And the warning's this, that members of your own family, members of your own family, can be a hindrance and a great hindrance to you in your walk with God. Some of your own relatives, some of your nearest relatives, can hold you back from doing what you know to be the will of God for your life. The Saviour taught, what a warning it was, we can love family members more than him. Isn't that interesting? You can give them the place in your heart and life that he ought to have. Maybe that's true of someone here in the meeting. And the result of that is, when you love someone more than Christ, you'll do what they want instead of doing what the Lord wants with your life. Do you remember the words? We quoted them on Thursday night in the prayer meeting. Writing to the Galatians, Paul asked, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you?" And the fact is, men and women, the fact is, Terah was a hindrance. Terah hindered Abraham in following the Lord. But you ask yourself today, just think of your own heart, ask yourself that question. Who did hinder you? Who's been a hindrance to you in your walk with God, in your service for Christ? Your mother? Your father? Son? Daughter? You would have obeyed God. You would have done his will. You would have obeyed his call. But you allowed them to stand in the way of you going down that road, going down that path. So brethren and sisters, heed the warning. Let me emphasize it. Don't let other members of your family be a hindrance to you going through with God. And the other side of that warning is, don't you be a hindrance yourself. Don't be a hindrance yourself to other members of your family obeying the Lord's will and following his will, obeying his call in their life. The test of family. There's one other test that the pilgrim, Abraham, the wanderer, had to face. That was the test of the famine. Go a little further down the chapter, chapter 12, come to verse 10 of the chapter. It says, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." There was a famine. And the famine was very grievous. So I want you to see, consider that. Abraham now faced a famine. There was a famine in the land. His family was affected by it. There was an extreme shortage, especially a shortage of food. I'm sure there's all sorts of thoughts and questions flooded into his mind. He would have said, "Is this what I've come to Canaan to find? Is this the land of promise? If it is, perhaps I'd have been better staying in Ur of the Chaldees." I'm sure he thought of all of those things. Think of the wealth, the luxury he left behind in that city. And the first experience he has of where God has led him is into the midst of a famine. He would have thought, "I have great responsibilities. I have a large family and household to provide for. I have considerable flocks and herds to feed. What am I to do?" And the sad thing is, brethren and sisters, he did the wrong thing. He made the wrong decision, because Abraham walked by faith without any leading, any guidance from God. He left Canaan and he went to Egypt. And notice the words of the text. Notice that chapter 12, verse 10. It says he went down into Egypt. Remember that often in the Bible, a person's physical circumstances are a picture of their spiritual condition. He was going down physically, but the same was true of Abraham spiritually. Abraham was going down. His attitude was, "If there's a famine in the land, then I'll abandon the land." Imagine that. Even though abandoning the land meant he was also abandoning the will of God. The will of God for his life. He had been tested by famine, and he failed the test. And maybe, brethren and sisters, God will test you in like manner. Test you in this way also. Might bring a famine to your door. Hard times cross your path. Hard times with regard to job, business, money will be scarce. Living on the breadline. God can empty our pocket. Test you where it really hurts. And in that hour, the most important issue is, how will you respond? How will you react? Will you respond as Abraham in a way that will disgrace the Lord and yourself and the gospel because you forsake God and forsake his call and forsake his will for your life? Will you respond as Job's wife wanted him to respond when he was brought to poverty? She said to Job, do you remember it? Curse God and die. Think of all that they were passing through. They'd lost everything. Everything. And that was the reaction. That was the response. Do you know what those words literally mean? Mr. Nicholson has a great sermon on the subject. Goodbye, God. That's what those words, curse God and die, that's what they literally mean. She wanted Job to say, goodbye, God. Goodbye to church. Goodbye to spiritual things. Goodbye to my walk with God. Is that how you'll respond to the famine? Or will you respond as Habakkuk did? Let me just read the words to you. Habakkuk the prophet, toward the end of his prophecy. He said, although the fig tree will not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail. The fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. So I want you to think of that. Think of the famine that he's talking about there, brethren and sisters. Poverty. He says that there's no blossoms in the fig tree. There's no fruit on the vine. There's no labor for the olives. There's no harvest. The field has no meat. The flock is cut off. There's no herd in the stall. He's faced with the test of famine. So how did Habakkuk respond? He said this, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So even in poverty, brethren and sisters, he rejoiced in the Lord. And what at that time, difficult as it may be, he rejoiced in what was the Lord's will for his life at that particular time. And in doing so, Habakkuk sets us a great example. Sadly, Abraham sets a bad example at that time. But Habakkuk sets a great example of how to respond when we're tested by famine. So here's the tests of the pilgrim. Of the wanderer. Test of faith, the test of family, the test of famine. And let me just ask in closing, brethren and sisters, what result have you had to these tests? When you get a test at school, college, university, you're always looking for the result. So what's the result in your life as you've been tested by the Lord in these things? You passed the test, or have you failed the test? Has God seen by these tests that you're too attached to this world and all that is in it? Do you know the word that sums that up, being too attached to this world? Worldly. Is that what the Lord has seen by testing you? You're not a spiritual Christian, you're a worldly, carnal Christian? Or has he seen that you're a real pilgrim and that your affections are set on things above and not on things on the earth? I'll tell you this as a finish. Some of you remember Ivan Thompson. He was a Baptist preacher. He was in the Mourne View Church there in Lurgan for a number of years. was greatly used as an evangelist, died quite young as a result of cancer. My memory is correct, he died in his 50s. Not long after he was converted, he was in the company of some experienced believers, and he asked them for a little bit of advice. One man in particular in that company asked for a little bit of advice as he was setting out in the Christian life. And this is what the man said simply in reply to him, "Brethren and sisters, take it to heart this morning. O pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus." So I want to encourage you to think of that today. Ivan Thompson turned away that day, and he said that to the person that was with him, "Ask that brother for a bit of advice." And this is all he said to me. "O pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus." He didn't think it was much at the time, but he came to realize, brothers and sisters, how profound and how important it was. That was the problem with Abraham, why he went down into Egypt. That's why he delayed in Haran all those years. God has eyes of the Lord. So I emphasize that to you, brethren and sisters. As wanderers, as pilgrims on the earth, I think there's no better advice that could be given to God's people, particularly in the day in which we're found, and all that's going on around us. O pilgrim, bound for the heavenly land, never, however long you live, whatever the Lord in his wisdom and providence brings you through, never lose sight of Jesus. So Abraham the wanderer, and may God be pleased today to bless his word to all our hearts for his great name's sake. 430.